food manufacturing in America that is really broken. And I think if people knew a lot more about these ingredients that are being put into their foods, I think they'd really step back and be really concerned. I mean, the FDA has approved 10,000 additives that are currently used in food products. And 3,000 of those additives are actually unregulated. And there's known carcinogens that are allowed in food products in this country.
This is the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast, and I'm your host, Maya Acosta. If you're willing to go with me, together we can discover how simple lifestyle choices can help improve our quality of life. Let's get started. My next guest, Carrie Song, founded the company Abbott's Butcher. Well, Abbott's Butcher was born out of a deep desire to live more authentically and the belief that by building a more meaningful connection with our food, we are also building a more powerful relationship with our bodies and the world. Carrie talks to us about what it's like to be a female entrepreneur and about her story of having been involved in brand and marketing for Tony Robbins. So I hope that you enjoy this episode, and there are lots of great recipes on the Abbott's Butcher website. As always, the full bio and the links for each of my guests can be found on our website. That's thehealthylifestylesolutions.org. And follow me on my newsletter at bit.ly/Maya Acosta. And all of that will be included in the show notes. Enjoy. So let's welcome Carrie.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being here. So I want to show, for those that are going to watch the video, today for lunch, I made chicken tacos using your slow roasted chicken. And it's pea protein, onion, garlic, sage, and white pepper. And I wanted, because I stopped eating red meat and pork many years ago, Carrie, I wanted to try something that I can remember, which was the chicken. And I made little tacos, and I'll share that on my social media. But more than anything, I'm always looking for opportunities for my husband to sample things that he may miss. And then later, we're going to try the chorizo. And I'm holding up the box on this one. This is what I grew up with when I was younger. And if people knew what chorizo really was or is made of, they probably wouldn't eat it.
It's a good point.
Right. So let's start with your story, Carrie. Let's learn about, you know, why did you create this product? What was going on with you?
Sure. I've been plant-based for some time now. I went vegetarian in college and then completely plant-based shortly thereafter. And for me, it was a decision really rooted in animal welfare. Back then, sustainability wasn't as closely tied to the food on your plate as it is now, or at least it wasn't as prevalent, that knowledge. So it really had to do with what I believe was like ethical decisions for animal welfare. Health was just sort of an afterthought. I really figured, well, I work out every day. I don't eat meat, dairy, eggs, so must be healthy. But I was diagnosed eventually with an autoimmune disorder and put me in the hospital for 3 years in and out, getting infusion medications every 8 weeks. And this infusion medication I was on was really debilitating. I lost a lot of my hair. I lost about 30 pounds, really lost a big part of my life and felt like I was a shadow of myself. And during that, I mean, medication after medication and that suppressed my immune system. And doctors were telling me, well, hey, it's working. You're going to be on this the rest of your life, which was incredibly daunting. I told them it's definitely not working when it comes to quality of life. And so I thought, I have no choice. I have to do whatever I can to take back control over my health. And that's when I dove into research. I dove into research about my immune system. And that led to a deep dive into the importance of gut health. And then everything I learned about gut health, all the roads really led to diet. And when I looked at what I was eating, and like I said, I thought I was making healthy decisions. But it was one of the challenges I think a lot of people who are trying to go plant-based or our plant-based currently face is that a lot of the products out there are highly processed and they're filled with additives and chemicals and frankly, ingredients that I had no idea what they even were. And when I started to research those ingredients and learn more about them, how they were created, and then what their impact was on my gut microbiome, I realized I don't stand a chance of taking back control over my health if I continue to eat this way. So I cut out all of those processed ingredients and I adopted a whole foods plant-based diet. And so for me back then, that really meant a lot of beans and legumes and vegetables and grains. And, you know, a few months of that was okay, but eventually I just got over it. Like if I see another black bean burger or bell pepper taco, I'm just, this is not going to last. It's not sustainable. And I thought part of the beauty of meat alternatives is that they allow us to feel like we're not having to sacrifice that taste or texture that we've really grown to almost crave at times. There were so many recipes I grew up with and comfort foods and things that just were easy to whip up during the week that I had loved and that meat alternatives really made accessible to me that I really missed. And so I thought there needs to be a plant-based meat that not only has the taste and texture I'm craving, but is made with ingredients that I can really stand behind and that actually nourish my body. And so that's really where the impetus for Abbott's Butcher was born.
Well, I can see that you're definitely fulfilling a need when it comes to the foods that we miss, or like you said, the textures. Chicken tacos that I put together today really took me back to what I enjoy, just something simple and quick and filling, and also rich in protein, pea protein. I've heard you kind of explain how you came out with the title of Abbott's Butcher, but please tell our listeners, why did you choose that name?
Sure. I started the company when I was living in Venice in Los Angeles, and I lived on a street called Abbot Kinney. Abbot Kinney himself was a conservationist a while back in Santa Monica, and our part of our mission is to be environmentally conscious and impactful. So the name Abbott's Butcher just seemed fitting.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So you really do focus on that sustainable part as well. And let's go back a little bit. How is your health today? Would you say that your autoimmune condition is completely gone?
Yeah, it's been in remission for a number of years. And this is not for me to prophesize that diet cures all. Right. I come from a family of physicians. My dad's an ER doctor. My brother's a doctor. My father-in-law's a doctor. My brother-in-law's a doctor. So I understand and am completely behind the importance and value of Western medicine. However, I do not believe I'd be able to have taken back control over my health were it not for a combination of exercise, of an overhaul of my diet, and stress management. I'm still working on that third component, but the diet and exercise, I believe, are absolutely critical. You cannot have health without a healthy lifestyle. And that really, I think for me, it was reframing what that actually meant to a granular level and really being, like I said, hyper observant and cognizant about the foods I was putting into my body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm interested also in two different things as a female business owner, entrepreneur. What has that been like for you offering a product that's vegan and then working with other companies to try to collaborate? So I guess we'll start with how you actually developed your products.
I don't have a background in culinary arts. So it definitely was a nonlinear path that led me to food. And I mean, my background is in corporate finance and marketing. I worked as an analyst at Citigroup right out of college, studied economics in college, worked for several years for Citigroup and Morgan Stanley before realizing I had no desire to pursue a career in corporate finance and sort of took a sabbatical and moved to Europe and spent the better part of a year there traveling around by myself. Lived in Ireland and Spain, France and Italy, and eventually settled in with one of my best friends from college who was teaching at the University of Bologna. She had a spare room. I moved in and ended up going to a cooking school there. And it was there that I really just fell in love with the slow food movement of creating really meaty tastes and textures from whole foods ingredients. Loved developing spices from herbs, from just all natural ingredients. And just really never wanted to be a chef, but just had a new appreciation for food and for what chefs can do with food. And came back, I got a job, started working as a copywriter and then a content strategist, and eventually in brand and marketing over at Tony Robbins. And it was during that time where I got really sick and sort of had to, you know, start my whole journey with taking back over my health. But during that time is when I started experimenting a lot with making my own plant-based meats. And at first, it really was to fulfill a hole that was in my life. And I started sharing these products and all the information and knowledge I was learning with friends and family, getting their feedback, and continuously iterating on the recipes. And eventually I just realized this is such a white space. There's such a need for this in the market. And there's so many people with chronic illnesses in the country. And I really believe food is a major contributing factor to prohibiting them from taking back control of their health. So I thought this is something that really needs to be shared with others. And that's when I made a decision to really pursue this as a business.
So at that time, then you left everything and you said, this is what I'm going to focus on. Is that right?
Kinda. It wasn't overnight. It was, I started working on this. I actually started in farmers markets. So I started selling our products in farmers markets on nights and weekends because I still had a full-time job. And I spent 2 years in the farmers markets. And for me, it was part of the learning curve. It was part of learning really what did customers want? What did they like? What kinds of products should I focus on? 2 years speaking really intimately with a lot of folks and basing all the SKUs and the recipes off of their feedback. So eventually when we got into retail, our first account was a small natural market chain in Southern California called Mother's Markets. And I just showed up at their corporate headquarters because I didn't know any better. I thought this is might be the way things are done. Knocked on their door and asked the buyers if I could bring them lunch and figured no one's going to turn down a free lunch. And ended up cooking and catering a meal for them. And that was our first retail placement. So it wasn't, you know, we took part in a food accelerator program. So at that point, I went part-time with my job, and I was actually commuting back and forth between LA and New York. And then after that accelerator program, it was really focused on, okay, now we have this product, we've seen product market fit. How do we start to scale this and make this, turn this into a real business? And I went out and I raised a seed round backed by venture capitalists. And it was only once I raised that round that I was able to leave my full-time job and commit fully to building Abbott's.
So one of the things that you made sure to have in your product or not to have are those top 8 allergens. One of them being a soy product or even being of soy isolates. So you make sure not to have that in your food. What other things do you not have as opposed to some of the other vegan products?
Yeah. So, I mean, our whole premise and part of our core ethos is really about crafting plant-based proteins from real simple whole foods that nourish our body. And look, when it comes to soy, I think there's a lot of confusion around soy. I have no problem with organic soy or fermented soy. If you want to buy organic tofu, go ahead. It's great for you. There's a lot of health benefits. I think there's been studies that I think a lot of people have conflated the extra estrogen with negative health effects. It actually is not correct. A lot of those studies were very biased and don't have a really, if you read into them, they don't stand up. The issue with soy is when it's soy isolate. The way soy isolate is made, so soybeans are harvested. If you've ever seen soybeans, they're very oily. And so before you even isolate a protein or grind that soybean up, you have to put it through a defatting process. To defatten a soybean, the only way to do that is to use a chemical solvent called hexane. Hexane is a known carcinogenic. So that is the key reason you should avoid soy isolate really at all costs. It's incredibly inflammatory and you are ingesting carcinogens. Now, tempeh, tofu, they don't go through that process. Completely fine to eat. Peas, on the other hand, peas are lean. There's no defattening process required. So to isolate a protein with peas, it's a very clean, straightforward process where peas are harvested, dried, milled. The protein is isolated by activating pH and separating by molecular weight. And then that protein is the same protein that you would go and find in different supplement sections of grocery stores. You can go into Whole Foods, buy a canister of pea protein, add it to your smoothie, completely fine. You then take that pea protein and extrude it. And extruding is a mechanical process done with just heat, pressure, water. And we combine that then with vegetables, herbs, spices. We use extra virgin olive oil and vinegars. So we don't use anything else. There's no additives. There's no maltodextrin. There's no methylcellulose, no yeast extract, and no natural flavors. All of our flavors are developed from scratch ingredients. And every ingredient is really actually something someone could go into your local market and actually find. So we wanted to create products with ingredients people not only understood, but they'd feel really comfortable feeding their loved ones.
So I'm in Dallas. So here in my area, I can find your product at Central Market or at Natural Grocers. Also, you've said that you, Freebirds replaced another brand. So now you are at Freebirds, which I wasn't aware of. So I'll have to check that out. Where else can we find your product?
Yeah. So our chorizo is at all the Freebirds locations. As you said, Central Markets and Natural Grocers. We also just launched into Target. So our chorizo is also available at all Target locations. And then we'll be launching into Whole Foods this August.
Oh, that's great news. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Let's talk about some of the challenges that you may have had along the way. So one thing is having just that seed money to get started. But the other, well, I'm sure there are other challenges, but just getting your product out there. Can we talk about that? What's been the most difficult thing for you?
It's funny because you just have different challenges at different stages of the business, and things that seemed maybe challenging even a couple of years ago, now we look back and we're like, okay, well, now we have that under wraps. We understand it better. It's made us a better company. But now here's a whole new slew of challenges we're facing. From an operational standpoint, one of the biggest challenges has really just been scaling these products in a way that's very efficient and consistent and that never compromises on quality. You know, when we went to start commercializing our products, it's not like we're going in and creating a new recipe for soup or a cracker or something that has a tried and true process. We're developing all new processes. So things that have never been done before and trying to find the right equipment to help us do that. So it was incredibly challenging. Took a year and a half essentially to scale our products. And so, you know, and that's something that you deal with when you're scaling from, you know, 5 pound batches to 100 pound to 500 pound to 2000 pound and so on and so forth. There's just new challenges at every stage. You know, there's been a lot of pressure we've even had before. Why don't you cut costs? Why don't you use this sort of preservative? Or why don't you use these natural flavors? Or this can help you maintain flavor. It's never going to even be considered by us. You know, we're never going to compromise on our core ethos. So we just have to find ways to maintain quality, but in a way that we feel like we can stand behind. So our whole goal, I mean, I think there's a lot of food manufacturing in America that is really broken. And I think if people knew a lot more about these ingredients that are being put into their foods, I think they'd really step back and be really concerned. I mean, the FDA has approved 10,000 additives that are currently used in food products. And 3,000 of those additives are actually unregulated. And there's known carcinogens that are allowed in food products in this country. It's a real problem. And it's, to me, a root cause for why so many people have everything from really serious ailments to just so many people who have even digestive issues.
Yes, we've had those kind of conversations on the podcast. We've spoken about endocrine disruptors just from the personal products and household products that we have here in our homes. And of course, we know foods affect us. So in some ways, we think, well, if we eliminate the processed foods, then we're safe. But there are other things to consider as well in terms of food handling, even just with Whole Foods. So it's reassuring to know that you have this knowledge that there are those preservatives and additives that can actually harm us. And you're right. We would be horrified if we knew what we were eating. So let's talk about also, what has it been like? What do the conversations look like when you're trying to get into a place, for example, like Whole Foods?
Yeah, I mean, Whole Foods has been ahead of the curve. I mean, they are, you know, leaders in the natural grocery industry. They've always been really receptive to our products, what we stand for, and what we're trying to build. So conversations with them, they were our first major account. So we launched into Whole Foods across Southern California, Arizona, Nevada, and Hawaii. So we launched during COVID into Whole Foods. And they have been one of our biggest supporters, one of our best accounts. So we're excited to keep growing with them.
Have you seen a growth in the sales of your product?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we first started, I think brand awareness was definitely a struggle. I think for any new brand, especially smaller startups like us. And so we have seen our sales at Whole Foods more than triple over the past year. So we're doing really well. We really resonate with the Whole Foods customer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're expanding across the country, and we're going to be in, you know, a couple thousand retailers. And so for us, we're really customer centric. It's our customers, everything to us. So it's listening to different customers in different regions. What do they love? What is their, you know, even the negative, the criticism, we take it really seriously, and are constantly looking for ways to innovate and improve to serve our customer better.
Being that you're at Freebirds, is there a possibility that you may exist in other restaurants as well?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, it's really about creating more accessibility to customers. And one of my favorite things has always been is watching what chefs and restaurant chains do with our products. It's a great way for folks to try plant-based who have never tried plant-based before. It's a great way to feed people who already are plant-based to have great, delicious options. Mm-hmm. So it's really wonderful to see the trial that it drives. And then it helps us make more connections in the retail space, because customers will try our products and then, you know, want to go create home cooked meals with it as well. And so they have a place that they can go grab our products and share it with their families too throughout the
week. Absolutely. Yes. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show was because I'm a little hesitant when it comes to promoting certain products, for the same reason that I feel that as kind of a leader in my community that I need to be careful about what I recommend. And so I saw a talk that you gave speaking about your product, and it was just so moving. And it made sense. My main concern was how much saturated fat is in there? What kind of chemicals could be in the product? Because that's the first thing that you think of when you're trying to encourage people to eat healthier. It's like the last thing you want to do is recommend something that's going to go contrary to the message.
Sure.
So, I was excited about that. What else would you like our listeners to learn about you? I mean, for me, it's kind of, you know, important to hear from a vegan business owner, especially female. I like that it's good for the environment, that you focus on sustainability, and that, you know, your product will be available for many people.
You know, our products are just really meant to fit seamlessly into people's routines. I think one of the biggest challenges for people who do want to go plant-based or even just have more plant-based options throughout the week is they feel like they might have to reinvent the wheel. They might either, hey, I just have to have a burger, or I have to go look up a recipe and spend an hour procuring new ingredients and trying to figure out, how do I cook this? How do I make something that's delicious and filling, gives me the nutrients I need, and is also just kind of easy to make?
Right.
And our products, we call them modern day essentials because they do fit really seamlessly into people's routines. Rather than be just limited to a burger or sausage, take our ground beef, for example. It's great in everything from bolognese to lettuce wraps, classics like shepherd's pie, or you can even put it on nachos. It's also really great. You can cook it, keep it in your fridge, and then use it in meal prep throughout the week. Or our chicken, it's so versatile. It takes on flavor really, really well. And so it's really meant to fit any type of cuisine. I have it frequently. There's this one recipe I grew up with, and it's like a sticky rice with a sesame, ginger, chicken. And then we would eat it in lettuce cups. And it's great because I knew exactly how to make that by heart. No recipe needed. And I just swap out, you know, proteins. And it's an easy meal solution that I can make without having to like think too much about it. Our products really do make plant-based eating really easy. And you can feel great because you're getting the protein you need. You're also not compromising on quality. And you can have just such a variety of meals and that have also balanced macronutrients. So we're also the first and only plant-based meat to be Whole30 approved. Mm-hmm. So, our values also align with anyone who's pursuing, you know, the Whole30 program.
Yes. And, you know, I'm looking at, as you were talking, I was looking at the recipe ideas on your website. Usually when we change, you know, when we go plant-based, we feel like we have to start over or we have to figure things out. Like we have to collect a bunch of recipes. But because your product is easy to use, I can see here, like I was thinking of a chicken tortilla soup, and there it is. There's a recipe right there for that. And you have enchiladas and lasagna. I mean, you have it, pad thai. So many ideas on how we can incorporate your different meats. And so you have chicken, chorizo, you have beef. And what is the fourth one?
It's those three. We have a fourth one available in for restaurants. It's a new Italian sausage crumble. It's really great on pizzas and Italian food. But that one is actually just restaurants only. But those other three are great for retail.
Well, this is great. I really like this. And so on your website, you also list where the product can be purchased. So you have recipes, tons of ideas for people to incorporate. I think this can actually make life a little easier for people who are just feeling like, well, I don't want to feel deprived. I still want those textures and the flavors that I once enjoyed, only now I'm not harming animals. So this is great. Oh, here, I was going to click on this button that says our impact. So care and sustainability are at the core of everything that we do, from our ethically sourced ingredients to our animal welfare programs and recycling initiatives. We are on a mission to cultivate a better planet for all living beings.
Yeah, we work with a company called Replenish. So our packaging is almost 100% recyclable. The cardboard carton is recyclable. The tub is HDPE number 2. It's recyclable. The only thing that's not is the film seal. But to counter all the plastic that we are putting out into the environment, because we also know only 9% of all plastics in the country actually get recycled, we're working with Replenish to go and recover the same amount of pounds of plastic that we're putting out. So to date, you can go on our website, see how much plastic we have recovered, but we are dedicated to making sure that we can help build more of that circular economy. So plastic is staying out of a landfill and getting reused.
Yeah, that's real responsibility from a business aspect. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners? And also, what is the best way for them to learn about you or your products?
Yeah, our products, you can learn more on our website. It's abbotsbutcher.com, A-B-B-O-T-S, butcher.com. Or on Instagram, it's our handle's just at abbotsbutcher. There's tons of recipes. I always tell people, one of my favorite ways to start, if you're even curious about going plant-based, pick up a package of chorizo, whip up some tacos, put it in your breakfast scramble. It is really delicious. And I think that's a great start. Or you can also cook it up, throw it on salads throughout the week. You got amazing plant protein. It doesn't feel like sacrifice. But, you know, I think, you know, outside of that is really, you know, we are a mission-driven company. Our whole goal every day is to move the needle forward for people's health, for animal welfare, and for the planet. And we do practice what we preach. It's not a marketing ploy. It's an authentic core value. And every single one of our team members really lives and breathes that value. So,
Well, thank you, Carrie. It's been a pleasure meeting you and learning about really how you're helping the planet and the animals. This is wonderful. And yes, like I said, I'm going to recommend the product, but I'm going to also try some of your recipes. The other thing that came to mind was what a great idea it would be to create something for a family member who's not on board in terms of being vegan and not telling them that what I prepared did not have animal products and then seeing the reaction. That'd be great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast with your host, Maya Acosta. If you've enjoyed this podcast, do us a favor and share with one friend who can benefit from this episode. Feel free to leave an honest review as well at ratethispodcast.com/HLS. This helps us to spread our message. And as always, thank you for being a listener.